Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Please rise if you are able and join me as we read. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord said. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. When David was told that it was the men from Jabesh Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent the messengers to them to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me king over them." Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asheri, and Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The tribe of Judah, however, remained loyal to David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over Judah was 7 years and 6 months. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. How are you doing? Every time we start preaching or when someone got up here, we say, "Good morning, church." Do you know what the word church mean? The word church is from Greek, is ecclesiate. Ecclesiate actually have a different meaning than today when we say church is an institution. When you come to VCC, the word ecclesiate actually means a group of people. So it is people, not the building or the organization. So when we say good morning, church, we mean good morning to you, not an organization. So finally, I have been preaching on the book of 1 Samuel for some time now. And we have seen, watched all these challenges that David has gone through. And then now this morning, we are at 2 Samuel chapter 2 now. That now Saul, the guy who's been trying to kill him all this time, is finally dead. So finally, this ordeal is over. And finally, there will be some peace. And finally, David will become king. At least that's what we thought when we read 2 Samuel chapter 2 here. And we know that the role that David has been going through is not an easy role. It's a lot of challenge. So it's a winding road. That's my topic this morning. It's called winding road. People do not like to go through changes. So as I was preparing the sermon, so last night I thought, okay, this morning I'm going to use an illustration. Even if I close my eyes, I know exactly where everybody sits, because people do not like to change. And I was going to say that on my right-hand side will always be Eddie, but then he moved to the center this morning. Arr! Okay, and now I'm going to say that Grace always sits at the middle here, and she always come on time. She's never late. She's always at least 15 minutes. So I'm going to say that Grace always sits, but Eddie took her seat, so she said, sit over there. So there must be a reason. She always sit on my right-hand side here, where Eddie is sitting. Maybe because Eddie took her seat, so she moved over there. No, I think she came first. She's always the earlier one. So my illustration does not work. But people do not like to change. And when I was young, as a youth, I grew up in the church, I always sat where Christina is sitting, always. I never sat on this side even once on a Sunday worship. So I always sat there. And people do not like to change. We like things the way it is. I work downtown for over 35 years. So when I resign from my job, you know, the company actually has a certificate for me hanging, thanking me for my 35 years of service. So actually you saw it hung in my office. So I took the same role every morning for over 35 years to downtown from where I live. And the same role back home, the same. I never changed until the last day when I have to leave. I packed up my office and was late at night. Everyone is gone. And I decided to take a different role. And actually I find out there's an easier role to get home. But it's too late. That's my last trip home from my office downtown. We do not like to change. When we go to the restaurant, I don't know about you, I always order the same food in the Chinese restaurant. You know, the Chinese restaurant has this menu, like a telephone book, but most of you do not know what a telephone book is. It's pages and pages of a menu. Now, there's be over 100 dishes you can order. But I always eat the same thing. I don't know about you. If I go to a Vietnamese restaurant, I always order the Vietnamese noodles. I love, even though there are many other things, I always go for the, okay, let me eat something different. But at the end, I say, I order the same thing. So I gave that up. So when I go to the restaurant, I just sit there and then Cynthia will order the food for me. She knows exactly what I want to eat. And people do not like to change. We like to do the same ministry sometimes, over and over again. But when we look at life, we know that life is full of changes. But we are all scared of changes. And when I prepare this sermon, and then I learn this word, metaphysiophobia. What does that mean? This is the fear of change. So we are all afraid of changes. We don't like to move. We stay in our same house for over 30 years. We don't like to change job. I've got the same job for over 35 years. We like to change cars, most of you, but I don't like to change cars. My car is over 20 years old, still running. We don't like to change, but we always face changes in our life. Sometimes the economic situation forces us to change well, and that becomes a stress. Our health will change, everybody's health will change. When you're young, you will think that you will never get old. You'll never die, actually. You know, you think that you can just continue at 25 forever and ever. But when you get to my age, then you realize that your body going downhill each week, each month. Change brings us fear, worry, stress even. That's why we have this word, metaphysiophobia. We're scared of changes. And when we look at David's life, until this morning, second chapter, second Samuel, we realize David has gone through a lot of changes. Since he was a young teen, he was chosen to be by God through Samuel, the priest, to be the next king of Israel. But only until this morning's scripture, we realized that finally, he became a king. But it was a long, winding role. The time he killed Goliath became a hero overnight. But that wasn't the beginning of an easier life for him. He was chosen by King Saul, to be in his personal worship team, like getting team, play piano, play the harp for the king every day. It must be a good job, you know, so close to the king. So you would expect him to rise very rapidly, marry King Saul's wife, his daughter. And he even won in the battlefield, and all the people praised him. But then that brought jealousy to King Saul. And then he became a fugitive. King Saul kept trying to kill him. Eventually, you know, Saul wasn't pursuing David that much, but eventually, he became more and more jealous of David, and he sent soldiers, elite soldiers, to go after David. David had to run for his life. And we studied that in the last few months. But his life did not end there. He went to actually live among the enemies, the Philistines. And we read that in chapter 1 Samuel chapter 27. He almost became a traitor. He almost joined the Philistine armies to kill, to battle against his own people. But God pulled him from the last moment. God pulled him back and rescued him. Otherwise, we will have a different Bible today describing about David. And then the Amalekites came, kidnapped his family, took away everything he and his followers had, and he was totally collapsed. We read that in chapter 30, but God brought him back. It wasn't a easy role. So my topic is a winding role for David. But what's the definition of winding? So I thought that winding role just means a lot of curves. So actually there's a scientific definition. So I look it up. A winding role is when there are three or more curves in a row, where each curve is separated by a tangent distance of less than 600 feet. So that's actually a scientific definition for a winding role. David's life wasn't easy. But I thought when you follow God's will, God's plan, your role will be smooth. That's what the scripture taught us. We have to follow God's guidance and live out a life that He wants us to. But when we follow Him, when we are obedient, aren't our ways should our ways be easy, smooth, other than if we are being disobedient? When David was first anointed to be the next king of Israel, and by the time Saul was killed, it's about 15 years. He waited 15 years to be the king of Israel. Not yet. If you read this morning, you realize that he was only the king of Judah. Not yet. God's plans not yet fully fulfilled in his life yet. He has to wait another 7.5 years from chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. It's not an easy road. When we follow God, we expect a smooth, easy road, but it appears that it's just the opposite. Instead, if you want to live a life quiet, no one will bother you, you stay away from God. God will leave you alone. If you choose not to follow God's plan, God will leave you alone. God would not force you. Your life probably will be easier. Some people do that, become a Christian, only come on Sundays, or not even on Sundays. They just, I believe in my heart. They just go on to live their life. They will never want to realize God's full potential in his life. His life probably will be easy. God will just let it be. Let him live an easy life. But is that the life you want? Or you want to be like David? God has a plan for David. But if you follow God's plan, most of the time, I would say maybe all the time, it's not going to be an easy road. God wants to polish you, discipline you, to train you, to shape you. When you look at David, he had to wait another 7 years to become the king of Israel. Another 7 years so that he can be the king that God wanted him to be. There's so many changes in our life. I look at my life, many changes. I'm sure when some of you are here, if you want to serve God, if you want to fulfill God's plan in your life, expect it will be a winding road. Pastor Norman, it's not a very encouraging message this morning. You ask us to follow God, but you promise us a difficult life. Yes, it will be a difficult life. But in this challenging life, how do we navigate? You know, look at David's. We have studied David's the last 15 years since he was anointed to be the king, to chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. It wasn't an easy life for David. Right? But our life, said Pastor Norman, my life wasn't easy either. There are a lot of challenges. I know. Anybody who wants to serve God, it will be a lot of challenges. That's why a lot of people got hurt in church, so they decide to stay away from church. Yes, it will be easier staying away from the body of Christ. Among all these changes, how do we navigate? Well, how do we navigate when we travel? We have this thing called GPS today. But in the older days, when I was young, we don't have GPS, we don't even have computer. So we use something called a paper map, M-A-P. You know what that is, young people? You know what it is? You know what a map is, M-A-P, it's about this big. Right? The first time when I traveled to L.A., and I was working when I was in my junior years as an engineer, the company sent me to take a course, one big course at UCLA to study some engineering. That's the best kind of course you can get. The company pays your trip there. So I spent a week in UCLA studying engineering, another 3 days visiting Mickey Mouse. So the first time I went to L.A., so I went in the car, everything is all company pay, of course, and then I carry a map about this big. In the older days, when you travel, you mark your map, you know, you have a red pen, a highlighter, and know how to get from here to here. So driving on this highway, you know, if you've been to L.A., you know there's L.A., some of the highway has about 5 lanes. You drive, and then in Canada, when you exit, you always exit to your right. And then I follow the map. Okay, so you get off the highway, the next exit. And then the next exit is actually on the left-hand side. The exit goes either the left or right. So I was on the right-hand side, and I have to try to cut through 4 lanes to go to the left-hand side with all these cars going at the speed of a Boeing 747. And then the zigzag over there, and I missed that. And then the next exit is on the right. So I had to zigzag back to them. It wasn't a very fun thing. So when we went to LA 2 weeks ago to visit the Getty Museum, so we decided to use Uber. But today we have GPS. GPS today, I mean, anybody who drive and know how to use a cell phone will use a GPS. Right? GPS, at any time, when you drive, you have 20,000 satellites. 20,000, is it? No, sorry. 20,000 kilometers above you. That's 20 satellites all the time circling, orbiting around the Earth. So any one time, at least you can see four satellites. And they can pinpoint where you want to go and calculate how long it takes you to there. So it's very accurate. So anybody today, they drive, they will use a GPS system. So a few years back, three Japanese tourists in Australia, they went a car and tried to drive from the mainland to a small island. So according to the GPS, there is a road that can go straight there. It's not very long, it's only about 8-10 miles. So as they follow the GPS, and then from a pavement road to a gravel road, and then to a muddy road, doesn't seem right. So as they're driving, but the Google doesn't lie. Google is always almost always right. Right? So that from here to there, there's a road they can drive. You know, for how long? So they keep driving, and then they start seeing water on the road. Doesn't feel right. You know? But they said that Google cannot be wrong. Right? So they keep driving, and then they end up in the sea. And they decided, okay, we gotta get out of the car and then get someone to rescue us. So the people in the ferries passed by and said, what are these tourists doing, you know, driving in the sea? And then the Google did not tell them that there's only a road there when it's low tide. Google did not tell you that there's high tide, low tide, and high tide and low tide, right? So they just follow Google. So next time when you drive, you'd be watch out if there's any five planes down there. Yeah. But David, King David, he has to go through this winding road, a lot of challenges, changes. He relied on a system. He relied on God's positioning system. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. So David said, where shall I go up? To Hebron. Even though he has gone through many challenges in his life, now that King Saul is dead, he could have taken things into his own hands. This is the time. I have already been anointed over 15 years ago. The only obstacle, stumbling block is Saul. Now he's dead. It's my turn. He could just get up and call up the people. Now I am the king. I already been anointed. But no, he came to God over and over again. Even asked a simple question, where should I go? Can I go now? And he just followed God. David, God chose David because David followed God. God is like God's positioning system. Today we have to rely on this God's positioning system through prayers, through the scripture, through the guidance of our spiritual leaders, counselors. In John chapter, Gospel John chapter 15, Jesus used the word remain in him 11 times. We have to remain in Christ, in Jesus. The reason that God chose David, but David always, even though in chapter, in some of the chapters we read in 1 Samuel, David left God. He walked his own way and he got into trouble. Over and over again in chapter 27 was Samuel. But God always brought him back. Chapter we read today, even though he could have taken over the whole situation by himself, he doesn't need God because he has already been anointed by God to be the next king. Now this is the moment. But it's like Prince Charles, when the queen died, he just became the king of England. But instead, David came to God again, over and over again to ask for God's guidance, God's positioning system. Are you connected to God's positioning system? When we were in LA 2 weeks ago, we went to Santa Monica to visit the Getty Museum. Rent a car, we just use Uber. But one day, we did not bring a spare battery, we forgot. And we are standing there at the bus stop, and then realized that we're running out of battery. The red light starting to flash, that we're in trouble now. Without a GPS system, without our internet, we cannot get home. We don't know how to get home. We don't know even how to take a bus. So we better take an Uber. But then we thought if you have used an Uber before, you need to have your internet connected. Otherwise, the Uber driver come, he could not find you, and then you don't know who the driver is. And then we are debating, should we call Uber? And then the battery die, and then we'll be stranded in LA. We don't know how to get back to the hotel. And then we are debating, we are struggling, and then the cell phone, the lights are flashing red. At the last moment, we decided to bite the bullet. We just call the Uber, then you use a pen to write down the number of the driver and all the information, and then we look for the car. Right? And God saved us. We just have enough battery to when the Uber arrived. Is your battery dead? Is your God's positioning system, your battery is dead? Or you lost your Wi-Fi connection? We have to come to God. Once God gave David the instruction where to go, and then he just took his whole family and went to Hebron and become the king. I'm skipping all this. And then they lived in the cities of Hebron, and then the next thing, he became the king of just Judah. So his dream is not fully, or his mission is not fully realized yet. I really like this quotation. Most people prefer the certainty of misery to the misery of uncertainty. David went through a lot of changes to get to where God wanted him to be. Today, I think it's the same for all of us. It's not an easy role, I hate to say that. I wish I could have a more easy message to tell you. It's easy to follow God. It is not. Most people prefer the certainty of misery. Maybe for a relationship. Maybe we are in a relationship that we should have renewed or even to give up. But we hang on because we worry about the mystery of uncertainty. We scare, we worry about what if I follow God, God will bring me into a position that I do not want to be. That's scary, isn't it? I know that I'm in a mystery now, but I would rather be with this mystery that I am comfortable with or I know rather than a mystery I don't know. But when you follow God, sometimes you do not know what is the next phase that God will guide you into. When I first became a Christian, as I told you, I grew up in this church. I served in the same ministry for 15 years, at least 15 years. I did the same thing over and over again. I served in the international student ministry. I served the international students who came to Vancouver. So I worked in the ministry for 15 years. I love international students, even today. I love serving them. I brought many of them to Christ. I like the work. I don't want any other ministry. I want to keep doing that. So I did that for 15, almost 20 years. Until one day, God said, time for you to move. I want you to move to another small church, the whole family. And I didn't quite like that idea. I love this church. I don't want to move to another church. At the time, I already finished my seminary training. I studied at Regent College in my spare time while I was working as an engineer. So I graduated. So God called me to another small church to help them as a volunteer pastor. I did not want to go, I have to tell you. I struggle and struggle. And I know that when I go, I will have to leave all my friends behind. But I went. And the next things, God, have to, you cannot serve as a volunteer pastor. Both of you are working, you and Cynthia. So we had to give up one paycheck. That was a struggle as well. I mean, it's nice to have two paychecks. All my peers have two paychecks. And we accepted that change. So Cynthia quit her job as an accountant. So I worked there for a few years as volunteer pastor. And then God moved us again, the whole family. I did not want to move again. So we moved to another small church to help them to start an English ministry. And then Pastor Ivan became the senior pastor. He asked me, time for you to come back after 5 years. So we came back and started serving in the Cantonese. But only after a year or two, and then I was asked to start the English youth ministry here. Because I served in an English-speaking church before. So nothing but changes since I said to God, okay, I will follow. I've give up what I was doing at VCAC and take a new task. Ever since then, my ministry just keep changing every few years. And then one day God said, I want you to start a Mandarin-speaking church here. I said, I don't even speak Mandarin. I don't know a word of Mandarin. That's really funny. So I keep telling Cynthia that God is so funny. So much humor. I probably the only Mandarin pastor in Vancouver who do not speak Mandarin. And then after a while, I really like the Mandarin congregation. I told Cynthia that I think everybody in the Mandarin church likes me. So how can you be so sure? She said, well, all the ones who doesn't like me or they left, right? So all the ones left behind, they all like me. So I was going to retire as a Mandarin pastor. I was really prepared to do that, and then God changed me again. Now I become the senior pastor. The way it's going, I may become a worship pastor. I'm in three worship teams now. So I spend more time practicing worship team than any other things. When you follow God, unfortunately, quote unquote, unfortunately, God will bring many changes to you, to your life, so that you can be shaped, polished. Today, I find that many people, they do not want to change. Don't bother me, Pastor Norman. I'm very happy with what I'm doing. So I thought that people who retire will have lots of time. So I keep asking people, see, in the Cantonese, there are a lot of people retiring. Right? I keep asking those people, can you come and help? No? You're still young, strong, so much wisdom. So, don't bother us. No, I'm retired now. I don't want any more new ministry. But for David, he has to go through even more changes. And if we keep reading from verse 8, verse 9, we read this before, so I'm not going to read this again. 10, 11, I'm going to skip to chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. I thought this is over. David must have said, this is over, isn't it? I waited 15 years. Now I became the king of Judah, at least it's like I'm king of something. But this is only the beginning of an even bigger war. It became a civil war among the Israelites. They start fighting each other. That's the worst war you can have. So David have to go through another at least 7 years fighting, killing each other. More changes that he has to face. All this is just for David to go through so that he can become a better king, a king that God wanted him to be. Today, all of us face challenges, changes. If you think that you're following God, it becomes a smooth road, I can tell you that I cannot say for sure, because I'm not God, only God knows. But from the Bible's teaching, most of the time, if you want to follow God, it will be a winding road. Look at Moses. It wasn't easy for Moses, isn't it? Joseph, Apostle Paul, King David, that we look at today. But all this so that we can become a better servant, so that we can live to the fullest. You can choose an easy role. God will probably leave you alone. And I think God has left a lot of us alone. Some people said that the pandemic brought changes, not just our church, to all the churches. All the churches has gone through a big change in the last few years. Biggest change, almost all churches lost members. Now, what did the pandemic do? Did pandemic change Christians' life? No. I think it just revealed the life of some Christians. Some Christians, before the pandemic, they come to church, they come and worship God, they come and serve because it's part of their life routines. They just have to come to church, they just have to serve because it's part of their routines for the last 10, 20, 30 years. But now the pandemic came, the restriction came. You cannot come to church, we cannot even serve. People's life routines changed. And then they realized that it wasn't that bad. Why was I going to church all these years? I like this new routine. It's not the pandemic did not change their faith. Their faith was never there before the pandemic. It's the routine that kept them going. But now the pandemic stopped their routine, replaced it with a new routine. And they're quite happy with this new routine. Why do I have to go back to the old one? The faith was never there in the first place. We have to all review our life. We have to able to accept changes. It will be more challenges in front of you if you follow God's plan. But God has a GPS for all of us. Don't worry. We may not know the next 10 years what you'll be doing. I do not know what I'll be doing actually in the next 2 years or even next year. God has his plan for all of us, and we have to follow this GPS. Like David, come and ask him. He will show you one step at a time. Go to Hebron. Don't worry about the next 7 years. Go to Hebron, become the king for now. And David did that without asking. Without asking God, what happened? After that, he did not ask. He just followed. We just have to connect our GPS, make sure that there's battery in your GPS system, make sure that there's signals you can receive from God. Just walk it one step at a time by faith. It's not going to be an easy road, but you will live to the fullest potential of what God wanted you to be. Let's pray. Father, help all of us to face changes in life, so that we can trust you, we can rely on you. It is your will that we follow you step by step in faith. We know that if you follow you, our life will not be a straight, smooth road. We'll go through many changes so that we can be polished, so that we can be disciplined, discipled, so that we can be more like you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.